from tapes, CDs, DVDs to our publication, Voices from His Excellent Glory, Declaring the Kingdom. Right, P.O. Box 21516, Hot Springs, Arkansas, zip 71903. Our website is www.LakeHamiltonBibleCamp.com and LHBCOnline.com. There are many free audio files there. It's like going to Bible school at home.
Saturday evening, July the 2nd, 2005. First service of the 4th of July week, a family camp meeting being held at Lake Hamilton Bible Campgrounds, Hot Springs National Park, Arkansas. Carl Fox of Truth of Consequences, New Mexico, is the minister of this service.
Hallelujah. Thank God. He's good. Why are we here? That better be the reason, because we love God. Because if you come here expecting something without the love of God, it's going to be cut really short. Yes?
He has a wonderful ministry in Romania. He spends almost as much time over there as here. And he's got several churches over there and an orphanage and just a whole lot of going on.
Stuff going on, yeah. Amen. That's because I love God. Somebody earlier was talking about planning things to death, and we do that sometimes. And people that go with me to Romania, I take people with me to train them in walking in the Spirit of God. And I tell them one of the rules is, if you have notes, you'll never speak again this trip. I want you to reach out to the Father and have what the people need to hear. And it's hard, because some of these guys are seasoned ministers, and they're so used to having their outline, and I'm not totally against that. In Romania, they have a problem, because they say, what's your programming? I says, you know Jesus, you ask him. Because we found that there's people over there who would like to shoot me if they had a gun. And you can't please everybody if you're going to please the Lord Jesus Christ. So we don't sweat it, but we don't let them know ahead of time where we're at. Because I've been arrested for counterfeiting. I could tell you stories, I won't bother, but when you're serving the Lord, you got to walk with the Lord. And that's really what I want to talk about tonight. You know, some of you come here expecting deliverance. You'll have deliverance, okay? Jesus set you free. The reason that maybe you don't have your freedom is because you have not permitted it. There's no maybe about it. But God's heart is that He's already held nothing back. He gave the most valuable thing that He had, His only begotten Son, Jesus Christ. And having done that, He hasn't held anything back. So I'm going to put a challenge to you that want to be delivered. If you'll do it God's way, you'll have it. And if you try to do it your way, then you're going to stumble along. But if you want the goodness of God in your life, there are requirements. And it takes relationship with Jesus. Nothing else is going to do it. You can have so many PhDs piled up, you got a landslide. And it won't do you any good at all. Did you know Satan knows the Bible better than any of us? He's been trying to defeat it, and he has not been able to. So knowledge is not the key. But you're in a lot of trouble without knowledge. But Jesus said you got two teachers, the Spirit and the Word. And we have many groups that are all the Spirit, the Spirit, the Spirit. God gave me a vision this one time. It was a nice road. But on each side of the road, everybody was in the ditch trying to smooth the ditch. There was hardly anybody on the road. And if He ever gives you a vision, ask Him for a dream. Ask Him to give you an interpretation. He's faithful. I ask Him, what's going on? And He says, well, on this side, it's all these Holy Ghost folks. And praise God for the Holy Ghost. But He said, they don't balance it with my Word. He said, on this side, it's intellectual knowledge of the Word. And He said, my Son said it clear that if you want to be on the road, it takes the Spirit and the Word. One side, you have the Word only and the Spirit only. And God wants you to walk. If we're not learning the Word of God, we're in trouble, folks. Okay? But if you're not walking with the Spirit of God leading you, we're in trouble, folks. Because in the Garden of Eden, where it all started was the tree of knowledge. It wasn't no silly apple. I know it was avocados. You know, I don't like them. But it was a fruit of knowledge, of good and of evil. And yet today, we can fall right into that same trip. You know, God put His Spirit in us. We have something, ever since the day of Pentecost, we have God's Spirit in us. And it's in there working, and it stays fresh. But it will not stop. But if you go to 1 John, because what I'm going to talk about tonight is about relationship. For those of you that want deliverance, it has to do with relationship with Jesus Christ. Okay? Those of you that want healing, it has to do with relationship with Jesus Christ. That's how we get the goodness of God. Jesus said the only way to the Father is through me, right? Not Carl, through Jesus, right? That's the only way to the Father. Well, isn't deliverance a way to the Father? Isn't healing? Isn't salvation? Whatever of God's promises are, the only way to receive them is through Jesus Christ. There is no other way, okay? Anybody want to argue with me on that one? Praise God. Because He said, the only way to the Father is through me. There is no other way. So if you're expecting somebody to be so cool up here, or for them to have a new technique, I'm not saying it couldn't happen, but what I'm saying is, if it's not in the Word of God, it's new and bad. Okay? I believe the book of Acts is still being written. I'm a little bit old-fashioned. I believe it's still being written, and the acts of your life are being written. I believe that's the book that's going to be open, is the acts of our life. You know, it just goes on and on, as long as God has people here. And we are here, right? I want to talk to you about relationship with Jesus, because it's the key. It really is the key, folks. The first time I went to Romania, you know what? They called me and said, don't come. A famous man, I won't say his name, but their interpreters, the Greek Orthodox Church, infiltrated and got the Christian interpreters out, and what was interpreted was not good. And it was a terrible embarrassment. And I get this phone call, and they say, you're not welcome. I said, what do you mean I'm not welcome? You can't come. I said, sure I can. And they said, well, you can't come. And I said, I got to. I bought non-cancelable, non-refundable tickets. I'm not going to waste it. I'm coming. They said, well, who do you think you're going to speak the word to? I said, people on the streets. Where do you think you're going to stay? I said, with them people. And I had three other men coming with me. I didn't tell them what had transpired. That was my problem. It wasn't theirs. So by the time we got through customs and the plane landing late, all the junk, we're 4 hours late. And finally we got our luggage and we're coming out. I said, oh, by the way, guys, we're not welcome. They go, what? And I said, no, I'm serious. We're not welcome. I said, I got one telephone number and I don't know if they'll talk to us. And, well, you know what? Today we have no idea how many churches have started because these gypsies are taking the Word of God and they've gone all over Eastern Europe, down into India, up into Russia. They're just going crazy. They're probably coming over here. So, you know, these people can get around. But see, it didn't start because we had a well-laid plan. It started because we were walking with the Lord Jesus Christ. People can say, well, I walk with God. Well, if you're not walking with Jesus, you can't walk with God. Right? The only way the Father is how? Through Jesus Christ, right? See, you think you're building a church, some of you out there, you're a real hero, you're building a church, well, you're defying Christ. He said, I'll build a church. You gotta listen to Him. You gotta walk with Him. And are you gonna stumble? Absolutely. But you'll get back up. Unless you're walking in your ego, and if you are, we'll deal with that, okay? We don't need that. We don't need that. If we will depend on Jesus Christ, He'll give us the answer. You don't even have to know the question, and He can give you the answer. Isn't that amazing? You know, you could get done with something, and after you're all done, you go, wow, that's why it happened. And we've all experienced that, I hope. But see, what this week is about, regardless of what message comes out, because I don't believe anybody would get the privilege of speaking here, and thank you for permitting me to be here. But if it isn't about Jesus Christ, then, you know, go down to the synagogue or go over to the Hindu place or something, okay? Because Jesus Christ is what makes the difference. He is what opens the door for us to walk with God. Jesus Christ, it's Christ in you, the hope of glory, right? In the Colossians. The hope of glory. Of whose glory? No, first of all, it's yours, so you can give it to the Father. God will give you the glory so He can see what you're going to do with it, sister. Isn't that awesome? He'll give you a chance to grab it and run because you have freedom of will. But praise God, if you will give the glory to the Father, He'll trust you with more. Now, your answer was right because automatically you've got a lifetime habit of giving the glory to God. But see, just because somebody gets healed when you pray for them, that doesn't make you hot stuff. Just because you got a great voice, or I got a loud one, but it's Christ in you, the hope of glory. That's what it's about. God has given you gifts. He's given you talents. He's given you abilities. But it's Christ in you, the hope of glory. And folks, even though in Ephesians it says He sealed the Spirit of promise in you, even though that is sealed, if you don't walk with the Lord Jesus Christ, it's just going to be dormant. So, if we go to 1 John, please, I just want to hit some verses because I want everybody to get up early and get in here for prayer, okay? But in chapter 1, in verse 3, it says, "That which we have seen and heard declare we unto you, that ye also may have what? Fellowship with us." You know what relationship with Jesus Christ you're going to have to get right along with a clown like me? You cannot hate your brother and say that you're in fellowship with God. Amen? Isn't that amazing? Jesus is the head of the body of Christ, right? We don't have to look that up. We all know that, right? Okay, if Jesus is the head of the body, and if we are the body, then our relationship with Christ, there's also a dependency in how we can learn to get along. And the body of Christ is arguing over stupid doctrines that come from hell. They're bringing division. All right? You know, salvation, there's a standard of salvation set in the Word, and we have that. And then we can work together. But if we're going to look for things to have a difference with, I guarantee you, everybody in here could disagree with everybody. All right? So we're not going to do that, right? We're going to have fellowship. The Greek word is koinonia. It's a beautiful word. And just follow that one through the Bible sometime. But see, it's about fellowship. It's about relationship. Yeah, we can have differences. Big deal, so I blow it or you blow it. Down here in 1 John 1, 9, it says, if we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us of our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. That includes differences that we may have. If we will not let that spirit of pride rise up in us, and I have to be right. It don't work. The Bible says if we humble ourselves, what does God do? He raises us up, right? You know what? I think of that raising up, He draws us closer to the head, who is Christ. So differences, let's throw them aside. Let's get rid of them. You know, all these differences that we have in this world today, the only solution is Jesus Christ. Literally, the only solution. The Middle East, I have a friend of mine that grew up in Ramallah, and Sheila and I was in their home having dinner, and the girls were out in the kitchen doing the cooking thing, and we're smelling the food, and he turned on the news to Fox News. I don't own that, okay? But anyway, all of a sudden I looked over, And he was crying. I mean, just sobbing. I said, what's the matter? He said, did you see that building that just got blown up? Big building. Hit with a rocket. I said, well, yeah. He says, I accepted Jesus in that building. He says, everybody in that building was Christians. He says, the city of Ramallah, he says, since the day of Pentecost, or the first century, he said, since the first century has been a Christian city. Isn't that amazing? And yet, the battles that go on between the Jews who are Christ rejectors, okay, and the Arabs who are Christ rejectors, that tells me right there the solution is what? Jesus, right? But isn't it amazing, that city who has been, historically it's proven, has been a Christian city since the first century, both sides are throwing their bombs. Who do you think's behind that? Satan, right? The only solution over there is Jesus Christ. The problem's over there, if you trace the people back far enough, they all come from the same place. Because you know what? All of our ancestors got off the boat, better known as the Ark. Okay? Now, you can argue about Adam and Eve if you want, and I've heard that one. But you can't argue about off the Ark. It's very clear. And yet, because of pride and all the things, and guess what? That's all relationship. But you know what? It's bad relationship. Are we, as brothers and sisters of Christ, are we going to let our prejudices, our hatreds, our we-know-it-all attitudes, our unforgiveness, our wrath, are we going to let all those things draw separation? Or are we going to work on being brothers and sisters in Christ? Which way do we want to go? Huh? I can't hear you. I got it. I read your lips. Now I know what you said. Okay. Koinonia. Amen. We are. This is a big deal. I mean, you have no idea. Neither do I, okay? But this is such a big deal. Who was it, Doc? Was it you that said there was no accident any of us was here? Somebody said that. We're all here for a purpose. You better believe it. We're all here for a marvelous, glorious, eternal purpose. Isn't that an awesome thing? Yeah, come on, wake up. Do I say amen? Okay, wake up, come on, wake up, wake up. I mean, this is a real thing. This relationship business is a real thing. Because I'm going to take you, I'm going to shorten it up, so I'm not going to go in some of the places I was led to earlier as I was looking in the Bible, but go to John. I know, I get in the gospel. Gospel of John is awesome. But in John chapter 14, there was a conversation. I'm just going to give you a little refresher on it so we don't have to go through all the verses. But Jesus, the guys were talking, and they're talking about seeing God. They're talking about all these things, and they come up with it, you know, they're wise guys. They figured things out. You know, if we could just see God. You ever hear anybody say that? Ever hear somebody wants to reject God say, if I could just see Him? Good Lord. If they just see Him, they'd be in trouble, wouldn't they? But you know what? They are going to be in trouble if they don't accept the Lord, because they're going to be at the white judgment seat. But anyway, They're talking, they're trying to figure out with their intellect how their faith can be stronger. Have you ever done that? I have. But see, faith is faith. Spirit is spirit. Right? You don't see spirit. John 4:24 says God is spirit, right? The only way you can worship is in spirit and in truth. So you can't con Him. You know, He knows. But they're having this big discussion. And Jesus, you know, he still knows what's going on around Him. Every one of us that's a child of God has Christ in you, the hope of glory. Amen? And not only that, if that wouldn't be enough, and it would, You have the same spirit in you that raised Jesus from the dead. Amen? If that doesn't give you a tingle, then we're going to have to raise you from the dead. Because that is beyond what we could even pretend to understand, is to have the same spirit in us that raised Jesus from the dead. That's fellowship, isn't it? Huh? That's fellowship. That's fellowship. Ugh. But Jesus said to him real simple in verse 7, he said, if you had known me, would you know what? This fits. You could say, Carl, this is Gospels, this is pre-Pentecost, but he's teaching the guys what they're going to do after Pentecost. All right? This is preparation. I mean, this is advanced schooling they're getting. And he said, if you had known me, in other words, they had some work to do, didn't they? You should have known my Father also. And from henceforth you know him and have seen him. And Philip said, you know, duh. The Lord, show us the Father and it sufficeth us. Give me a break. What did he just say? We don't always listen, do we? Jesus chose Philip. He was no stooge. See, when you try to figure it out yourself, you get in a lot of trouble. You need the Spirit and you need the Word of God to keep teaching you, drawing you, pushing you, pulling you, directing you. But anyway, Jesus said unto him, you stupid. No, he didn't say that. Aren't you glad I'm not Jesus? Huh? Yeah, aren't you glad I'm not Jesus? Huh? Have I been so long a time with you, and yet hast thou not known me, Philip? He that has seen me has seen the Father. And how sayest thou then, show us the Father? Believest thou not that I am in the Father? Do you believe Jesus is in the Father? What do you think he meant when he said the Father and I are one? You know, if we can find something to agree on, and we can, we are one in what we agree on, right? Satan would like to have us separated because we don't agree. But Jesus said, the Father, you know, he said, believest thou that I am in the Father and the Father is in me, the words that I speak unto you. Listen. He's still saying this today. He said, the words I speak unto you, I speak not of myself, but the Father that dwells in me, he doeth the works. Folks, where do you dwell? Don't give me your address. Because in the senses, you know where you're dwelling? Here. Okay? Right here. This is where you're dwelling right now. Okay? In the senses. In the physical. And I would hope that in the spiritual, when it talks about where you dwell, it's talking about your relationship. It's talking about your relationship. You want to do a fun word study? You know what a word study is? Get your little concordance out. Like a Young's or a Strong's or something like that. You know, the exhaustive, one of the big thick ones. Get your glasses because it prints fine. And then, but you just take dwelleth and follow that one through. Just take, and as you do it, you know, it'll show you a scripture. And just check. If that scripture is not interpreting the word right there in that scripture, then read the context. But it will make that word dwelling and indwelling, it will put an excitement in you that it'll take a lot of sin to diminish. All right? Because sin won't have its allure or whatever it does to mankind. But he's talking about the Father dwells in me. You know, one place Jesus said that if you would dwell in me like I dwell in you. See, he stays there. Jesus had a relationship with the Father. The Father stayed right in the Lord Jesus Christ. Stayed right with him. Jesus said, I will never leave you nor forsake you, right? So who's breaking this relationship thing? Huh? We are, right? We're breaking the relationship. He doesn't leave. You think Jesus lied about that? If he lied about that, then he's a liar. Praise God, he's not. He said, you know, I'll never leave you nor forsake you. That's dwelling. He promised, I'm going to dwell in you. Oh, but what if you're sinning? He stays right there. He's going like this. But he don't leave. You know why? Because he's just waiting for you to cry out. Oh, I heard this guy that was a legend in his own mind talk about how God will not answer a sinner's prayer. Well, good Lord, if that's the case, then how are you ever going to get... Because it says every man sins. How are we going to be heard when I say, Father, forgive me? He holds on to you. Because Satan is very determined to tear you apart. You think steal, kill, and destroy is a friendly thing? Huh? Jesus made it real clear. You know, he drew a line in the sand, I like to say. You know, we got sand in New Mexico. He drew a line in the sand. This is my side. This is Satan. This is steal, kill, and destroy. This is life more than abundant. You make your choice. He says, I don't want mankind ever again blame God for the things that Satan does. See, before that, Jesus come to make mankind aware of the Father, but also Satan, right? You read in the Old Testament, they blame God for a lot of things that he didn't do. But Jesus made it real clear. And it's up to you to decide which side of that line you want to dwell in. Dwell in, okay? Hang out there. But Jesus said, I speak not of myself, but the Father that dwells in me, he doeth the works. See, Jesus said, I always do my Father's will. That's relationship. Jesus, hey, folks, he could have sinned. Jesus had the freedom of will to sin. Isn't that amazing? He didn't. Praise God for that. But he had the freedom of will. Satan did everything he could to try to get Jesus, if he could have got him, to sin one time. Just one time. One time. And Jesus' whole life, he did his Father's will. He chose to dwell in the Father. You think he didn't understand that God dwelling in him, he also had to dwell in the Father. The same thing applies for us. That's why we have 1 John 1:9. Because we fail sometimes. You get back in there, it's like you jumped outside, you know, out in the storm. And you ask him to forgive you. You're back in there. Yeah, we want to get deliverance this weekend. We want to be healed. We want to leave here changed. Best get in the habit of dwelling in the Lord Jesus Christ. Best get in the fellowship. I know that this sounds boring to some of you people, expect a delicious thing prepared for you. But the bottom line is nothing else can happen without fellowship. Nothing else. Nothing good, nothing godly at all can happen without fellowship with Jesus Christ. So Satan is going to do the best that he can to get us to break our fellowship. Jesus said, I'll never leave you nor forsake you. So he's not going to reach in there and say, brother, you just made me sick. I'm fed up with you. Snap. I'm breaking fellowship. He won't do it. He promised he wouldn't do it. That's not break that fellowship. And, you know, 1 Corinthians 13:13 says, now abideth, there's that abideth thing. Now abideth faith, hope, and love. These three. And the greatest is love. So, without love, you can't have faith. Isn't that amazing? God so loved the world, he what? His only begotten Son. That whosoever believeth should not perish, but have what? Do you know what everlasting means? We just, in our group back in Truth or Consequences, New Mexico, isn't that a great name? That used to be Hot Springs. Truth or Consequences. Boy, that's life. It's the real name of our little city. Truth or Consequences. But the thing about it is that one of the things that we've been working on back there is because there's so much garbage about everlasting and what it means and everything, so I taught them how to do a word study. And verse by verse, we learn that everlasting and eternal, first of all, come from the same Greek word. And I can't remember what it starts with A, but I can't remember how to say it even. So I have trouble with English, so I'm not trying to pressure with Greek. But and learning English. But the interesting thing about it is that word everlasting, eternal is the same. There, you know, you can move back and forth. You're not breaking the word. But if, when you got born again, if it is an everlasting life like it says, then we're in trouble because it's the same word in Romans for everlasting God. Now, if that doesn't open your eyes, isn't that an amazing thing? Everlasting, the easiest definition is it don't end. Okay? So, we need to dwell in the Lord. We need to rise up. We need that fellowship. If we will have that fellowship with one another, that's how God put us around people. Sometimes people that are harder to love than others. You know, like me, that's my job. But the thing about it is that it teaches you how to love and appreciate the Lord. This is what this family business is all about. But he says, by the way, you can tear this out of your Bible if you don't believe. This is only written to you that will believe. And it takes fellowship to believe. Okay? In verse 11, he says, believe me that I am in the Father and the Father in me, or else believe me for my very work's sake. You know, that's what we had to tell the denominationalists in Bucharest, because they were really upset with us. Too many miracles and stuff. They were trying to say, I did a bunch of baptisms, and they criticized me because I baptized in the name of Jesus. I don't know. One time I did it in the name of the Father, Son, Holy Ghost. Next time it was in the name of Jesus. I did it the way the Lord led me, and if that bothers you, talk to Him about it. But it bothered them because they found something to criticize. And the Lord told me, this is your verse, Carl. And I went to it, and He said, believe me that I am in the Father, and the Father is me, or else believe me for the very work's sake. How about all these people getting born again? How about all the people being healed? You with your stupid degrees and unions, where's what? Let's look at your work. Well, they got real quiet. Now, did I make friends? No, but they were already my enemies. It was their choice. And then we moved on and started working with the gypsies. And we still work with some of them other guys. But I'll tell you what, when you see somebody that everything in their life is wrong, you see them accept the Lord Jesus Christ, and that Holy Spirit gets a hold of them from the inside out, sister, I want to tell you, there's changes. People that have never worked are out there trying to make an honest living. I had a man come to me one day. His wife was crying. She was all banged up. He said, that's our tradition. That's our culture. And I tried to reason with him, and he was making excuses. I said, son, he was about this tall. I said, you're 20 and I'm 60. I said, let's go out back and see who walks out of here. I said, Christian man can't talk like that. The father-in-law was sitting there and saying, you're a minister and you're talking like that? I said, somebody's got to. God won't let me get hurt. Right? It's the only language the kid could understand. The only language he could understand. And I was sure hoping he wasn't going to call me on it. And he got up and he went out. And I followed him because I thought, well, here we go. And he said, no, just leave me alone. Leave me alone. Well, you know, that was 3 years ago. You know what today he's doing? He's preparing to be a minister of the gospel. Amen? See, because love cuts through the garbage. Now, I don't recommend that kind of behavior, but sometimes it takes... I seen Glenn one time, a guy got possessed and headed out of here. He's twice Glenn's size. Glenn physically stopped him back there. There's no way you could do that. The guy was probably 25. You probably don't remember it. But you know what? That's what it took at the time. The Spirit of God was moving in Glenn, and that man got deliverance before the week was over. A lot of deliverance. But you got to do what it takes, and if you're walking in fear, you're not abiding in love. You hear me? So if, yeah, you don't know what fear is. If you want deliverance, brothers and sisters. And we all need it. Anybody here says they don't need it is already dead, and we need to raise you in the name of Jesus. We all got somewhere. We all got somewhere. We're not beyond that. Praise God, as long as we live, we can continue to grow. We can continue to prosper in the Lord. He'll continue to work with us right to the very end. Right to the very end. He said, I'll never leave you. I'll never forsake you. This is what it's going to take for this week to really be a successful week. Is we need to decide that we are going to hold on to the Lord like He's holding on to me. Because it goes on next verse, and I'm going to wrap this up. I know it's getting late. But He said, verily, verily, I say unto you, he that believeth on me. Now, if you don't believe, you can leave early. Seriously. I mean, you know, there's more people coming, and it's going to get crowded. If you choose to not believe, then, okay, you can unlock the door and stay safe. But anyway, verily I say unto you, he that believeth on me, that's who he's talking to. Can you say he's talking to me? I can't hear you. All right. Can you say it? I want you to read this with me. Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that believeth on me, the works that I do, shall he do also. And greater works than these shall he do, because I go unto the Father. If you believe it, it's true. If you will believe it, it's true. Is Satan going to challenge you? Well, of course he's going to. I remember one time I said, God, I'm getting so tired of this. It seems like everything comes at the last minute. I'm getting tired of it. Man, we got all these needs, and I'm sitting there moving like I got money, and I don't. Why does it work that way? You know what he said when I cooled down? He said, you're the guy that's been teaching on faith for 30 years. What do you expect? You know, you have an enemy, and Satan doesn't like this side of it. But when he challenges you, you know what he's doing? He's sharpening you up. If you will keep hanging in there with the Lord, you're getting stronger, you're getting tougher, you're getting sweeter, you're getting whatever it takes to do the job. And it's the truth, folks. And I'm not a name it and claim it guy. Well, maybe I am. You know what? I find it in the Word of God. And I speak the promises. And I claim the promises in the name of Jesus Christ. When I do that in faith, you know what? It's just like Jesus right there saying, in the name of Jesus, rise up and walk. And you know what? When you start abiding in Him and things get hot, I remember one time there was a poor lady so beat up in a wheelchair, I just couldn't contain myself. I ran over and I grabbed her, yanked her out of the wheelchair, I started running. I said, in the name of Jesus Christ, you're healed. We got clear to the back of the church, and we're turning around. She realized she wasn't in that wheelchair no more. She beat me to the front of the church. Isn't that amazing? The drummer in the praise team accepted Jesus that night. Everybody's shocked. The pastor was a little upset. He said, but he is a Christian. I said, he is now. But see, when we walk, and I'm not bragging on Carl, I'm bragging on Jesus, okay? But if we will walk in relationship, you'll do crazy things. I mean, tell that little punk, or big punk, you know, I'm going to pound you. That's pretty crazy, because he could have sure took care of me. Except I was with the Lord, see? See, it's relationship. I promise you, because I can show it to you in the Word, and if it wasn't late, I would show it to you. But I could promise you this. If you've got a problem, the Spirit of God living in you has got the answer. And the Word of God, the Spirit and the Word has got the answer. And quit praying, oh Lord, I hurt so bad. I'm so tired. Jesus said you'll have what you say. Right? And we're continually talking about our aching gizzard or whatever it is. And that's what we kind of are when we get like that. We're kind of chickens. Right? Oh, people don't have gizzards, but chickens do. But if we are praying all the time, our problems, and what is praying? It's conversation, right? I watched somebody one time, totally healed. They've been there up and around and everything else, and someone in their family come in, and it's, how you doing? They lost the healing just like that. As soon as they started to say it, really, folks, that's real hard to get it back when the devil steals it. You know, we need to speak the Word of God in season, out of season, to our friends, our enemies, and especially Satan. Jesus said, what? It is written. Right? Man, he backed him right in the corner. And that was after Jesus was weakened by 40 days. And I think out there in the wilderness it was without water, too. He didn't have a fruit juice fast. All right? He went out there 40 days. Satan thought, I got him now. I got him now because no man can handle this one. And Jesus said, it is written. Powerful, powerful. It is written. You know, and so we need to know the Word of God. Right. We need to know the Word of God. And nobody here knows it yet as well as you can if you keep reading it. Okay? Because the Word is life. It's life. If you could take a people that everything in them is wrong, God had given me a vision about the gypsies, that they were going to be some of the biggest evangelistic movement in the last days. And as I talked to him, he told me they all speak the same language. You know, every gypsy in the world speaks wrong. And they speak, you know, they're multilingual, and I'm still working on English. And they never went to school, some of them. You know, you can't keep them in jail. You can't keep them behind the border. They get out and get going. It's an amazing thing. And he showed me what was going to happen. And then for 2 years, I'm trying to get into the gypsies. You know, make it happen, Carl. You know, you're cool. I even had a bee as far as the back room, back of the room. And I seen that thing come right at me. And before I could go like that, it stung me right in the eye. Tried to stop me from going. I got there and I wasn't welcome. But when the day and the time was right, the doors opened up. I was gone for about 3 months and I got back. And all the denominational leaders come to me. Delegation at the airport, you know, it's pretty special. And you got to do something about these gypsies. I said, why? What's the problem? It's terrible. I said, what's so terrible? They've done everything terrible. What's the problem? Well, since you've been gone, there's been over 60 churches started, and none of them been to the seminary, in a cemetery. I says, so what's the problem? You know, I'm not against getting educated, but sometimes it's overdone. This was not a planned thing, because I planned it, I schemed it, and it always blew up my face. But when I was willing to just work with the Lord, now every time I turn around, somebody else from America and Western Europe is in there working with the gypsies. And it's not my work, it's God's. Jesus is a church builder, but it's amazing the things that are going on. And the ones that want to do photo ops, bring it home and show. It blows up in their face every time. You can't out-con a con. These people know that game. But when you walk in love, we do wild things. You got to believe the Word. It says if you believe it. You know, we sit down with them and we eat their food. You know why? Because in the Great Commission, Jesus said if you eat a deadly thing or drink any deadly thing, all right? Some of that stuff is pretty deadly. It might have been someone's pet. Who knows? But you know what? You know what? It takes love. And you know what? Love will give you faith. We sit and eat with them. And that's one of the things. You know what they call me? They say, Carl's the father of the gypsies. Yes, it's an honor. You better believe it. But you know, they said, he loves us so much he even drinks out of our wells. Well, I tell you what, make sure your food's blessed. Just like going to McDonald's, make sure it's blessed. But anything. You know, they don't let us eat here without blessing the food. It's an important thing. You know, if you love me, Jesus said, do what? Do my commandments, right? It's the next verse or so. Because he said in verse 13, wrapping it up, whatsoever you shall ask the Father in my name, how can you ask the Father in his name if you don't have a relationship? Huh? Huh? Have you ever tried it? Don't work, does it? But when you try it and you're in fellowship with him, what happens? Things start happening, right? Things start happening. And he said, and whatsoever you shall ask in my name, that will I do. Why? That the Father be glorified in the Son. Well, that Son is Jesus and you. Because of the relationship. It's Jesus and you. You don't have to be afraid to go up to somebody. Oh, but it got cancer. And what if God don't answer the prayer? He can't answer the prayer if you don't pray. If you're not, and prayer that isn't in faith is sin. Okay? So some of you got some repenting. What happens if you're praying and you aren't in faith? You know what's happening? You're praying wrong. First, Father, help my unbelief, right? Amen? Hey, we all have times when our faith stinks. Right? And that's, but God answers prayers, right? Then guess what? Father, help my unbelief. And guess what? It starts rolling. And it gets moving again. But see, you as a son or daughter, for you girls that are feminists, but and none of you are, but it says sons, and that includes your girls, okay? But it says, it's what it's telling you, if you're in relationship, the Father will do it. Jesus says, I will do it that the Father may be glorified in the Son. He's talking just as much about you as being glorified in Jesus. What a privilege. This is a privilege that you got. You know, my challenge to you is, what are you going to do with it? You have an area of need in your life? It works. Somebody comes to you and they got a problem? It works. You know, if somebody is on their deathbed, I believe in healing. I've seen people get up from stuff. I've seen them get from the dead. Praise God. Fact is, you talk about when we were there with Irma. That's what I thought God was sending me for. We're going to raise her up. You know, she's going to be all healed, strong and kicking. And I'll never forget, because you know what? You got to speak what you're given, even if you don't like it. And I had to look at you and say, Glenn, I'm sorry. I don't know why I'm the guy that's got to say this, but she don't want to come back. Yeah? Just got established. That's how the Word, that's how prophecy works. It establishes what you already know. But the bottom line is, you know, I've had it where they didn't get up. But I've had it where they did. And if I didn't fail on the ones that didn't want to get up, I never would have seen the ones that did. All right? You know, and it's the same thing when somebody's dying. They don't need to die. You know, God appointed the time. But you know, folks, I don't worry about what people think. You know why? They won't remember what they thought today at this time anyway. Neither will you. You know what I mean? So it doesn't matter. See, it's not about me and me looking like a fool, because I could do that without any help. I mean, in my old man days, I thought I was having fun. I was so tricked by the enemy. So why should I be afraid of looking foolish by going up? I remember one of the best church meetings we ever had was in the Walmart in Huntington, Tennessee, when we lived in Tennessee. Remember? No, it was in Tennessee. Well, we've had a lot of them, but you know, when somebody has a need, do it. We literally stood in the entrance of Walmart. We like lovingly call it Wally World. And we had these three black ladies. Okay, well, anyways. One of them, they're southern states. But you know what happened? When we got done, there was healing. And you know what happened? We had a big church meeting. The whole entrance was full of people that joined in. It couldn't have happened if we'd have been worried about what people think. Or having Wally Jr. upset because we're blocking the door. You know, God puts it in your heart. Do it! Did you hear me? Do it. Don't hesitate. You snooze, you lose. Okay? That's right. Forever. Eternally. Eternally. So what if you pray and they don't get healed? Not only that, what if you should have prayed and you don't, and they don't get healed, right? You think you aren't going to face the Lord on that? Huh? You know, the first time I really had studied on this in the Word and I was all ready for somebody to die, you know, a lot of years ago. And, you know, it wasn't that I was wishing death on anybody, but I thought, man, one of these days, my next door neighbor, he's mowing his lawn. Whoa, I heard the lawnmower go crazy and shut down and was tipped over and he's laying there. I was so ashamed. His wife came running out. I ran and jumped my fence, went to his yard, and I was ashamed of what she might think. So I said, go call 911. I mean, this guy was graveyard dead. So she runs to call 911, and I tried to get him up. He didn't get up. I went to my house, and I locked the door. I went there, and I just cried. I said, God, forgive me. Forgive me. I was a coward. You know, God is so wonderful. You know what He said to me? He said, it's all right, Carl. Most people don't even pray. Isn't that amazing? You know, in the seminary, we were taught how to console the family at death. Right? And yet, hardly anybody teaches them to get them up. See, if they don't get up, you didn't hurt them. They're already dead, right? Huh? But some of them get up. And I'll tell you what, you get raised from the dead, I suspect you'll never quit serving the Lord. Right? But see, it's about fellowship. And fellowship with Jesus Christ and one another, you're going to do what the Word says. That's what you're going to do. And if people think it's crazy, it's okay. It's okay. Oh, but what are they going to think? We're a bunch of screaming, hollering, Baptist, whatever, you know. I don't care what they think. I had the building inspector. We got, you know, where our office is, you know, it's an international ministry, and it is. We're small. We don't spend a lot of money on overhead. But we have a real nice meeting room that's part of it. And the crowd keeps getting bigger because people get healed. A lady came from the First United Methodist Church one night, her and her husband, and she was so excited, she says, pray for me. I prayed for her. She didn't tell me what for. I just prayed with the Lord, give me. And guess what? It was the end of her diabetes. 20-some years of being a diabetic. She went to her pastor. He says, I don't know anybody that can do something like that. You know what she said? Try Jesus. But God bless the Methodist Church. God bless them. But you know what? See, that's how Jesus did it. Signs, miracles, and wonders. There should be more signs, miracles, and wonders today than there was in the first century. And yet there isn't. I agree with your book, brother. Those of you who haven't got Clement's book, talk to him. Seriously. They're back there. Talk to the little lady back there that's fallen asleep. But that book, now she's awake, but it's a good book. It's a good book. It's a wonderful book. Okay, there's a good endorsement. That's wonderful. I just said good. But because it will get your expectations up there about what to expect. We hear all these legend in their own mind ministers talk about how terrible it's going to be in the end days and all these things. You know, and I agree, you know, because when I just read some of that long, 2-3 years ago as you're working on it, I said, man, that's what the Lord showed me. It's got to get hotter at the end, and it started with fire. It's got to get hotter. And I'm speaking to every one of you here. All right? Every one of you I'm speaking to. You got a commission to do greater things than Jesus Christ done. You know what? You, every one of you. If that don't fit your theology, then come talk to me. All right? Every one of us has got that responsibility. Privilege and... You know, with privilege comes responsibilities. Everybody feels sorry for Princess Diana. She had a lot of privilege. She didn't live up to responsibility, and Satan killed her. And you can just go right down through history. You have a lot of privilege. You're God's children. But you've got a big responsibility. Speak the Word of God. All right? Speak it. When you see someone sick, can I pray for you? Jesus said, you have not because you ask not. Get them to ask for prayer. See, because it's not just about deliverance. Salvation is deliverance, right? Deliverance is salvation. It's healing. It's all inclusive. This is the only deliverance camp I know, and I don't know many, but this is the only one I know that's into all of it. Because usually deliverance camps start because nobody will do deliverance. But I see where salvation is read up along with the rest of it, healing every bit of it, because this is really striving to walk with the Lord Jesus Christ and fulfill that great commission. Read the last part of every gospel. It'll open your eyes. Go ye into all the world and preach to the church? No! The denomination? No! The gospel. If you're trying to promote your church, shame on you. Ask God to forgive you. I don't care how great it is. It's about Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ, you know, He always did His Father's will and He still does. And if we're going to have a relationship with Him, we've got to do His will. I wanted to, but time is moved along, but I wanted to go and share with you what Peter said about it. But I suspect you all know that. But the bottom line is that probably someone will hit it before the week is over. But the bottom line is that God will be with you every step of the way. Do you want Him to just carry you? Jesus will never leave you, forsake you. So you just want Him to carry you and be a... You know, some Christians' prayers, my name is Jimmy. Gimme, gimme, gimme. Do you know what the sound of a baby Christian is? Why? Why? Why me? Why? 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 You know, they're probably filling their pants too. You know, they're sounding like babies. It's not what it's about. It's not about you. I had a man get upset. He says, you know what? I don't like the fellowship. I said, well, that's pretty nice. Why? Well, he says, you preach too much. I want teaching. I said, I do what the Lord says. If you don't like it, well, he says, I don't like it. I said, neither does Satan. I said, we got new people coming all the time. We got miracles happening. It's just a commonplace. Commonplace. Jobs, finances, you name it. You know why? Because we pray and we expect when we pray that we're with the Lord Jesus Christ and He's with us, that we're in fellowship, that real koinonia thing. And this is what it's about here. That's what we start tomorrow morning at 6 o'clock. And I'll tell you what, the fellowship is sweet. And if you can be there, be there. And if you can't, God will still love you, okay? But that's why I want to wrap it up, because I know a lot of you have traveled. We did today. And we're still going to hold up West Texas, okay, over there in New Mexico, right? But God is good. All right. All the time? God is good. There's a ministry I used to work with in Pennsylvania. They did that too. And they just have so much fun with it. Pretty soon nobody could sit still. But He is good all the time. But I'd like everybody to stand, please. You can't really see much sitting on your hind end. Probably been sitting long enough, you appreciate standing, right? Those of you having trouble, get up. In the name of Jesus Christ, I speak healing in your physical bodies right now. In the name of Jesus Christ, I command the authority of the enemy be broken. In the name of Jesus Christ, in the name of Jesus Christ, bless you, little one. Guess you're the youngest one here. Yeah, the big smile. This is family. This is family. From the littlest to the biggest, all right? Youngest to the oldest. The Father, in the name of Jesus, I lift these people to you. I thank you for your hand on them. I thank you, Lord God, that in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, I thank you for health. I thank you, Father, for just the strength be restored. I thank you for rest, that every person here tonight rests. I don't care if they only sleep 2 hours, but that they rest in the name of Jesus Christ. And I thank you, Heavenly Father, for every life here. And I want you just to receive with me, and I don't know what, because the Lord will give it to me, okay? Lord God Almighty, in the name of Jesus Christ, we receive your goodness, for you truly are good. Father, I thank you. You have withheld nothing from me. Help me break down the barriers that I have put between myself and you. That I put between myself and you. In the name of Jesus Christ, I thank you for forgiveness. Because I truly ask for your forgiveness. And Father, I ask you to help me to rise up, to be the kind of person that I sung these songs of praise tonight. Forgive me, Father, if I sung these praises without meaning them in my heart. Change my heart, Father. Draw my heart closer to you. And I do this in Jesus' name. And I know there's at least 3 bad backs in here. And whoever it is, there might be more, but get your hand on your back in the name of Jesus Christ. If you can't touch a spot, grab a hand next to you. Receive it right now. Right now, in the name of Jesus Christ, I command that back to be strong right now in the name of Jesus. Line up in the name of Jesus Christ. Those hips to straighten out. And I break the curse of arthritis and rheumatism in the name of Jesus Christ. I break the curses of diagnosis. How dare we believe what the doctor says, greater than what you say, Father. And in the name of Jesus Christ, I receive that healing right now. Heal our hearts, Father. Our physical hearts, in the name of Jesus Christ. Heal this spine in the name of Jesus Christ. Every bit of it, Lord God. In the name of Jesus Christ. Father, I thank you for my brother Glenn. I thank you, Father, that you just restore and renew him in the name of Jesus Christ. I thank you, Heavenly Father. Thank you for opening the door of heaven over every person here. I speak refreshing. Just receive it, folks. It's not a magic show. It's real. Just receive it. It's real. It's already paid for. Put your checkbook away. Amen? Amen? It's already paid for. In the name of Jesus Christ, I speak peace to you, little sister. Just receive it. It's been paid for. Jesus paid for it. In the name of Jesus Christ. Heavenly Father, I come against mental anguish. And I break its authority. Satan, you have no control over our minds. Our bodies, our souls, in the name of Jesus Christ, I command that the bondage and the every bit of it to be broken. Father, forgive us for the iniquities that we've done and our ancestors before us. Father, let us walk out free in the name of Jesus Christ. And he who the Son sets free is free indeed. Receive it, my dear family. Receive it in the name of Jesus Christ. I speak to weary bodies in the name of Jesus Christ. I come against anger, spirit of anger. In the name of Jesus Christ, I break your authority. I break you in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. You have no authority in here. And in the name of Jesus Christ, I claim protection. We call angels in. In the name of Jesus Christ, and that every devil is loosed, be hauled away. You don't go jumping around, playing hopscotch, and skipping the rope and stuff. In the name of Jesus Christ, you're bound and taken away. And I thank you. I thank you, Father, for your protection on this camp, because this truly is your camp. And we praise you, Father, for this. And ye know my people, and I, your Father, truly stand before you. I stand with you. I am your strength. I am your every need taken care of if you'll look to me. Quit messing around. Quit playing around. Quit letting the world take authority over your life. I, your God, have brought you into this day. I've brought you into this time. And I've brought you into power, that you walk in power, that you walk not in the dominion of the enemy, but that you walk in the dominion of my Son, because He truly is Lord over this world. And He truly is the Redeemer. He truly is your strength. If you will look to me, saith the Lord, I truly have paid the price. I have opened the doors. The windows of heaven are open over you. Receive, my children. Receive, my children. Receive. Don't let the enemy steal whatever your need is, whatever has been spoken against you. I break every bondage if you will just receive. Don't pay attention to how you feel. Don't even pay attention to what somebody else says. I, your God, have brought a Redeemer into your life, and I have given it to you if you'll just receive. Look to me, saith the Lord God Almighty. Look to me. I am the only answer. I am the one that provided Jesus for you. And I put my spirit in you, and it is sealed, my people. Walk out. Walk out. You are a royal family. Walk out with strength. Look to me. I'm your rest when you need rest. I'm your energy when you're depleted. I am your health when you're dying. In every situation, I am your answer, and I have provided it through my Son. Children, please hear me. Please hear me. I am withholding nothing for you, from you. I am not a God that does evil to you. The God of this world brings evil. I am the God eternal and everlasting. I always have been, my children. And you'll always be with me. Walk with that expectation. Because I do love you. Amen.
This is the end of this message. Our website is www.LakeHamiltonBibleCamp.com. There are hundreds of free audio files there. It's like going to Bible school at home. Thank you.